Ik ben Sylvia van Solft. Betaalt u te veel huur of huurt u te veel kantoorruimte? Solft heeft de oplossing. Van werkplekadvies, huuronderhandeling tot een verbouwing, wij ontzorgen u. Kijk voor al onze diensten op solft.nl.
BNR Nieuwsradio. The Big Five. Diana Matroos.
Welkom bij BNR's Big Five. 5G is here to stay. Dat lijkt het motto van de providers die het nu al aanbieden op de nieuwste telefoons. Maar tegelijkertijd zijn er nog heel veel rode vlaggen rondom dit thema. Welke pijnpunten moeten absoluut geadresseerd worden voordat we 5G echt kunnen omarmen? Daar hebben we deze week over in BNR's Big Five van 5G. Vandaag bij mij te gast de ambassadeur van de Verenigde Staten in Nederland, Piet Hoekstra. And that's why we're going to switch to English now, Mr. Ambassador. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today in our show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation. Looking forward to it.
Okay, great. As you know, today's show is all about 5G, but let's start with some latest developments from your country, from the United States. I was wondering, have you been in contact with President Trump lately?
I have not. Okay.
No.
The president is in full campaign mode. America's in full campaign mode. As an ambassador, I have to stay outside of partisan politics. That's one of the rules that we have. You don't get involved in politics in America. You don't get involved in politics in the country where you are posted to. So right now we're kind of an observer as to what's going on in the United States.
So what was the latest time that you had contact with him?
Well, I mean, I don't talk to the president very often.
No. So I was wondering, how does it work? The ambassador and the president of the United States, do they have contact?
Yeah, I have a lot of contact with people in the National Security Council in the White House as recently as last week. We had a major briefing from the National Security Council to Dutch security experts within the last 10 days. But talking to the president directly, he's a pretty busy guy.
Yeah.
So talking to two ambassadors, it may or may not happen on occasion, but not very frequently.
Only when there's an important topic going on.
Where you're not getting the kind of response that you would like to get out of the State Department or out of the bureaucracy, then you may take the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to go directly to the president.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen very often.
Okay. Well, that's good, I think.
Yes.
When you see his recovery, how are you looking at his recovery?
Well, I mean, from...
Because he feels strong?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, after... a weekend in the hospital under a COVID diagnosis for, a short period of time, that he's gone through a very, very quick recovery. He's in a risk group in that he's, over 67. So we're thankful. We're thankful that the president has recovered so quickly. It's the kind of recovery that we wish and we hope for everyone that gets COVID.
President Trump is also mentioning that. We hope every American, I'm sure that every American will recover from this disease. But of course, we also know that the cost that for the treatment he was on is like $25,000 a day.
Now a big part of that is probably just staying in the hospital overnight.
Yeah,
for
because
two
he's
or
the
three
president.
Nights. Yeah, he's the president of the United States. I would guess that when Boris Johnson was in a hospital, he received the finest care that was available in the UK.
Yeah.
And I would expect the same thing here for Prime Minister Rutte if he got seriously ill with COVID or something else. I mean, these are the leaders of your country. And you want to get them back healthy as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's understandable, of course. We're going to talk about 5G and technology, but first of all, Mr. Ambassador, are you a real techie?
I am not a real techie. My kids would be the first to say, we're helping Dad all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
what are they helping you with?
Turning on the TV and getting to the right, whether it's Humax or, American Armed Forces Network or Netflix or whatever, whenever we screw something up, it's like, okay, I can spend about a half hour working the three or four different remotes to get back to what I want to be watching. Or I can call my kids, and they will get me back there in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So we will talk to our kids.
And the smartphone, how many hours a day?
Well, I mean, I spend a lot of time in the car traveling from one place to another. And especially during COVID times, I'm spending 3 to 4 hours a day either on the phone or on my iPad or on the computer.
Yeah. When it comes to technology, we're all more dependent on it, to be connected also in these COVID times. And some people are scared about this because we are too dependent on technology. Do you also think that?
Well, it shows a real vulnerability. And we've all probably experienced at one time or another, whether you're a techie or not, that you become disconnected for whatever reason. The system breaks down or you've made a mistake and all of a sudden you see how vulnerable you are because you're no longer connected. You can't do the things that you've been doing for, the last month, for the last 6 months to make sure that you're productive and the work that you need to do, that you can stay connected to your friends and family. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute, what happened here?
Yeah.
So it shows, technology shows the power of what we can get done, but it also shows that when it doesn't work, that we face significant consequences.
Yeah. Does this worry you?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we talk about 5G.
Yeah.
Because what we want to do is we want to build systems with reliable and trusted partners. And we don't want to put a 5G network or something like that into the hands of someone that is maybe not totally trustworthy or reliable.
The Big Five. Diana Matroos.
Deze week praat ik met 5 kopstukken uit de wereld van 5G. En mijn gast vandaag is Piet Hoekstra, de ambassadeur van de Verenigde Staten hier in Nederland. En vanwege mijn gast doen we het interview vandaag ook in het Engels. And you were already addressing the problem we have with 5G. Mr. Ambassador, the issue of 5G is actually a conversation that we had 1.5 years ago. So you warned us already then. Did it help, all those warnings?
Well, I think it is. I mean, when you take a look at what I work on a daily basis here in the Netherlands, I spend a tremendous amount of my time focusing on national security issues, and I spend a tremendous amount of my time talking about economic security, economic opportunity, and those types of things. And this is where 5G really crosses both of those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
From the United States, I've talked about, and this administration has talked about how important 5G is from a national security standpoint, and also how important it is from an economic security standpoint. And I'm not sure we were warning. I mean, it's been a process of discussions with the Dutch government, with other governments in the EU, with the UK. It's been a process of identification of issues. It's been a process of providing information. So has the dialogue over the last 18 months, has it had an impact? Absolutely.
And who is the best listener in Europe?
Who's the best listener? I speak, only the Dutch are the people that I talk to. I find that the Dutch have been very, very good listeners and have been very, very good partners through this process. Doesn't mean the Dutch are doing everything exactly the way that America would want them to.
Yeah.
But the Dutch are being very reasonable and are being very professional as they go through this process.
Okay, so we're listening in the Netherlands, but who needs to listen more?
No, we're okay. We're moving in the right direction.
So we don't have a topic. There's no problem.
there's lots of problems.
Okay. But so define the problem that we have now when it comes to 5G technology and Huawei, because you were addressing this problem.
Right. I mean, the problem right now is that, number one, we need 5G. It is a big enabler for new technologies. Autonomous driving, faster connects and all of these kinds of things. So it is an absolutely essential technology. I think the biggest issue that we, and I think the Dutch are going to get to the right place on this, okay? I think the Dutch are going to build out a network that is secure and reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as quickly as what we would like, but
yeah.
I feel relatively confident that we're going in the right direction. We're going there together, which is very, very important. I think the challenge that we face in Europe is as we move beyond 5G, future technologies, whether it's 6G or whether they call it something else,
mm-hmm.
we need to make sure that those types of solution, the latest type of technology, the innovation, that it is coming from Western Europe or it's coming from North America, because we need to be global leaders in the technology world if we want to continue to be successful.
I think I have an interesting question. My guest yesterday was the 5G expert from TNO. En we hebben de kettingvraag hier altijd bij dit programma. And he had the following question for you. His name is Toon Norp.
Will 6G be a worldwide standard like 5G? Or will Europe, US and China each have their own versions of 6G?
Well, what I'm hoping is very, very clear
mm-hmm.
that Europe and the United States on this technology issue, we are working hand in hand. We are totally together. We will have a unified standard, and that standard...
So no different standards.
Not different standards. And the standard that we have will be supported by the best technology in the world.
Yeah.
And it will come either out of Europe, it will come either out of the United States or North America, or it will come out because there's a combination, a collaboration, a cooperation between Europe and the United States.
Yeah. But the experts say, let's switch to 5G again, because we have the situation now when it comes to 5G. And all the experts say, when it comes to the best technology, it's from Huawei. They're better and they're cheaper.
Well, I think you've got a couple of European companies that would disagree with that. That they're cheaper, it's very, very possible. This is the policy that China uses. What they want to do is they're supported by the Chinese Communist Party. So what they will do is they will develop good technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not driven by market dynamics. Huawei doesn't need to make a profit, okay? So the company can go around the world and they can do what in the United States call predator pricing, okay? Meaning they can sell well below the cost of what it takes to produce these products.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want to do is they want to hollow out the technology markets, in this case, in Europe and in the United States, so that when it comes to future...
Okay, so I see the business point of view, and mm-hmm. I also see the cheaper prices. You can argue about that. But the experts also say that Huawei is delivering better quality.
There are some that will say that, and like I said, there are those that will say that's not true.
Experts that say it's better quality.
Well, then we have I'm not going to get into whether it's better or not. The bottom line is if there is a quality deficit,
mm-hmm.
Europe and the United States need to fix it.
Yeah.
We cannot give away the technology market to the Chinese Communist Party. And we can fix it and we can fix it together with a very, very focused effort.
Yeah. But isn't this also a frame you're referring to the party of the Chinese government? But we're also not speaking about Cisco like being the CIA or something like that.
Well, the nice thing about the technology companies in Europe and the United States is they're governed by the rule of law. Your parliament, the EU, the U.S. Congress, we have put in, and the U.S. Constitution, put in place very strict provisions as to what the government can do and what it can demand from technology providers.
Mm-hmm.
These companies then are protected through the courts. Whereas in China, it's the law. Companies have to respond to the central government. If the central government, the Chinese Communist Party, asks for information,
mm-hmm.
they have to provide it. Europe and the United States are very, very different in terms of how we protect our companies
and, more importantly,
how we protect our citizens.
Yeah, but we are also spying.
the
everyone. I hope so. Yeah, everyone does.
So, I hope so. So what? But we're not. Yeah. America's not spying on U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. We're not spying on European citizens, and it's vice versa. Okay, our citizens are protected under a legal framework that does not exist in China. China spies on its own people. Even your political parties will say the same thing.
Yeah,
and they want to get as much information about Europeans and Americans as they can to use to their advantage.
Yeah, but is there any proof that Huawei is spying on us?
Oh, I think there's, whether there's proof or not,
yeah,
providing them with the capability, you know that they're going to use it.
Because of?
Because they have sworn that they want to lead in technology, and we've seen them do this in other places. Right now, the United States, just recently we passed, the president imposed huge tariffs around the world on the steel industry. Why? Because the Chinese are producing massive quantities of steel.
Mm-hmm.
They are underselling the world price of steel, because what they want to do is they want to put steel producers in Europe and the United States out of business so that they can dominate the steel industry. They did this with personal protective equipment. We just saw this through the COVID crisis.
And when we're completely honest, isn't this about a trade war that is going on between China and the U.S.?
Well, hopefully it's a trade war. I don't like the term war, because what we're asking for is we're asking for fairness and reciprocity. And hopefully it's the United States and Europe holding China accountable to make sure that it is meeting intellectual property responsibilities, that it is meeting, access requirements, so that we have the same access to Chinese markets that they have to U.S. markets. It's a whole list of economic ideals that Europe and the United States subscribe to that we need to get China to subscribe to as well. And we're not going to do it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. America can't do it with 340 million people. Europe can't do it with 440 million people. Together, we have an opportunity with the EU, the U.S., and the U.K. to hold China accountable.
So together, we stay strong. But the difficult thing is that there is no evidence of Huawei spying on us. So I'm also saying that at the end of 2019, the Dutch Secret Service found no evidence of Huawei spying on us for the Chinese government.
But we do know that China is doing everything, and whether they use Huawei or they use someone else, every day they are going into our businesses and trying to steal our intellectual property, and they're doing it with more success than what we would like. Every day, Chinese researchers and students who are located in Europe, the Netherlands, or the United States are doing everything that they can to steal secrets from our research universities and bring them back to China. And whether they use Huawei or they use some other mechanism, it's our responsibility to our companies and to our citizens to provide a secure network that protects them each and every day. And that will not be the case if the systems that are built for 5G are built on a Huawei network.
Yeah. And earlier you suggested that if the Netherlands chooses to get their 5G from Huawei, that the United States would refuse to cooperate with the Netherlands?
No.
Why all those threats?
That's not a threat. What we said is, if we do tremendous intelligence sharing with the Dutch, if we cannot share our national secrets with the Dutch through a Huawei network, we will share those secrets with the Dutch, but we will have to find another way to do it. Whether that means we built a secure network that is not Huawei-based directly to the Dutch intelligence community, whether we just use the U.S. systems and then we walk paper over to your intelligence communities, just like we did 20 years ago. But we will not put America's intelligence, and the Dutch shouldn't put their intelligence on a Huawei system.
Yeah.
We will have to find another way to communicate. We are not going to sacrifice the intelligence relationship that we have with the Dutch.
You will find other ways to communicate.
We will have to find other ways to do it, which will probably be less effective and efficient than what we have today. And when you're talking about intelligence...
So there are consequences.
There are consequences, and the biggest one would be speed.
Yeah.
Okay, in today's world, you need speed. And if we are not connected with the latest technology between our intelligence folks and the Dutch intelligence folks, we will sacrifice speed because we will have to use another mechanism to do it.
Okay, but that's a threat.
It's not a threat. It's just common sense. Why would you share national intelligence secrets on a system that is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party? It makes no sense.
Yeah,
that's not a threat. That's just a realization. It says we will share information with the Dutch. You had the Netherlands. I haven't the lung attained. That is not a threat. It's just common sense.
Yeah, okay? Vindt u dat? Hebben we lang attained?
Yeah, you have the lung attained.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's a threat. That is not a threat. It's just like, why would you put the most important information that we share as countries on a system that is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
It just says, no, that doesn't make any sense. But we will find other ways to cooperate. We're just concerned that it would not be as effective as using the latest technology.
So there will be cooperation, but the speed will go down.
It may go down.
And that's impactful, right?
I don't know what the alternative network will be to communicate with the Dutch or how much we are willing to spend and how much the Dutch are willing to spend to go around a system if we have to. Like I said, I'm optimistic the Dutch are going to create a system for all of their businesses and all of their people that will be reliable and trustworthy.
Okay, we praten straks verder. En dan gaan we ook praten over Amerika. Wellicht niet langer de absolute wereldmacht, zeker als we kijken naar de technologie. Wat doet dat met je als je ambassadeur bent van dat land? Ik praat zo verder met Piet Hoekstra.
BNR Nieuwsradio. The Big Five. Diana Matroos.
Welkom bij het tweede halfuur van BNR's Big Five. Deze week praat ik met 5 kopstukken uit de wereld van 5G. En mijn gast vandaag is Piet Hoekstra, de ambassadeur van de Verenigde Staten hier in Nederland. En therefore the interview, of course, is in English. Mr. Ambassador, in the first part of the show, we talked a lot about 5G and Huawei. And if we simplify it, the bottom line is that China has become a global leader in technology. And if I understand correctly, you warned about this many years ago when you were a member of Congress, right?
Could be, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't remember anymore?
Well, no, I talked about China in one of my campaigns in 2012, raising the specter of China being an emerging leader, and that what we needed to fight for was a level playing field. We believe that America, we believe that Europe, we can compete with China. I'm not concerned about that, as long as it's a level playing field.
Yeah.
And for 20 years, we have not had a level playing field with China.
And we have a saying here in the Netherlands, I don't know if you know it, a boontje komt om zijn loontje.
Oh, no, that weet ik niet.
Nee? Nee. Well, it means I told you so. Ha, ha, ha. I told you
that,
so.
Nee, dat doe ik niet.
Nee? Okay, but do you sometimes feel this way? So I warned for it many years ago.
No, because I was warning, we were talking about this in the United States.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is not about I told you so or I was right. This is about, how does the United States respond to the current challenges and threats? How does Europe respond? And hopefully we will respond collectively and collaboratively to this threat.
Yeah, and I was wondering, is it hard as a proud American, because of course you're a proud American like every American, to see the global power and influence of the United States decline?
No, I mean, it's... remember, after World War II, we helped rebuild Europe. There's no bigger success story than the rebuilding of Europe over the last 75 years. And the U.S. was instrumental in that. We were more than willing. And we were eager to see Europe develop and to grow into a strong ally. We never looked at, you know, after the war, you know, how do we keep Europe down and how do we take advantage of Europe? It's kind of like, let's do everything possible to build Europe into a strong ally, embracing many of the same values that we do.
Yeah, I understand that. But when I talk about the global power and the global power of America declining, I'm referring to China that's becoming a very important tech player in the world.
We don't have a problem with the rise of China. What we have a problem with is the policies of the Chinese Communist Party that put America at risk and also put Europe at risk. And so that is what we have to deal with.
So this isn't about the trade war.
Well, it is one of the key elements of this is getting to a level playing field is economically.
Yeah.
We have to get to an economic level playing field so that we are not putting Americans and Europeans at risk.
Yeah.
I want my kids and my grandkids now to have a great future. I don't want them to be dependent or be a second tier, living in a second tier country to China. Mm-hmm. I want the kids in the Netherlands and Europe to be able to get great jobs because Europeans can compete.
So what in your opinion, is the worst that could happen if China becomes the biggest power when it comes to technology?
Well, whether it's technology, it's space, whether it's science, whether it's healthcare, we've seen this. They will use their power to export their brand of nationalism, which is what?
Mm-hmm.
No respect for human rights. Take a look at what they are doing to the Uyghurs, what they are doing in Hong Kong. No respect for, you know, the rights of their people. You know, I don't want that for my kids. They are exporting and using their influence to try to bring that kind of regime and nationalism to other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a competition of ideas.
Yeah.
In a way that societies live. I am all for freedom. The Dutch are all for freedom. Europe is for freedom. We are for representative government. Mm-hmm. We want leaders who are elected by their people, who have a responsibility to their people. That's what we stand for. Excuse me.
Oh, maybe you can take some water.
Tea, yeah.
Oh, tea. Yeah. Well, we have tea for you. So take a minute to take the tea. But the real problem, I addressed this earlier, is that when it comes to technology, the Chinese are outsmarting us. So that's the real problem. I also talked with providers and experts, and they all tell me the Chinese are better and cheaper. Okay, we talked about
the pricing.
The pricing.
The cheater.
Now, they're better.
Okay, well, if they're better, then how are the United States and Europe going to make up that deficit? I'm not willing to concede that they're better, okay? But let's say we accept it, all right? Let's not argue about that.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of like, okay.
Where's the solution?
Is that acceptable or not?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if there is a deficit, that the United States and Europe ought to collaborate and make sure that we leapfrog the Chinese and that when it comes to the next level of technology, whether it's 6G or if they call it something else, that it is a European or a North American solution that will lead the way. And that's, you know, so the question is, what do we do?
Yeah.
To cover a deficit if one exists.
And when I listen to you, you almost sound angry.
No, I'm not angry.
No?
I'm passionate.
You're passionate. Okay? I love passion.
The Dutch, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I'm not angry.
No.
I'm disappointed that if we have a deficit, that we've gotten into that point where we have a deficit with China. I don't like that. Mm. But no, I'm passionate, not angry. I'm passionate about how we fix the problem.
Okay. So, zoom in for me. What's the solution? What's the alternative?
It could be a number of things. It could be a massive collaborative effort between Europe and the United States. We have our national laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for America to turn the national laboratories on to this singular problem of saying, how do we lead on technology? But again, it's not only about leading in technology, okay? And this is why collaboration is so important. We need to lead on technology.
Mm-hmm.
We need to lead on artificial intelligence. We need to lead on space. We cannot concede space to China or to Russia. This is a collaborative effort. We already have a European-U.S. collaboration with a facility right here in the Netherlands on space. Okay? The challenge to the West is we need to lead in all of those areas.
Yeah. And then you're referring we're allies?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what has happened to the bond that we all shared and to support and the support we all gave each other? Because it's declining.
No, it's not.
No?
No.
Okay.
Now,
that does
make me angry because people say, the United States, you're not a reliable ally. Excuse me, we still continue to support and we are the biggest contributor to NATO.
Yeah.
Yes, we want a very successful NATO. We are the biggest advocate for this multilateral organization that has functioned so effectively for over the last 70
yeah.
years.
But also, when it comes to NATO, there were a lot of threats to withdraw. No. Also with the World Health Organization. So
World Health Organization doesn't work. America doesn't belong to organizations that don't function effectively.
Yeah, but it seems like America first. That's the way we are feeling it in the Netherlands.
Well, America first, Dutch first. I can't believe that your government is saying, you know what, we're going to do this because it doesn't benefit us. It's not any good for us, but it's good for other people. That's not how the Dutch negotiate with us. The Dutch are very effective in articulating their position, what is good for the Dutch.
So we do the same.
You can make your own assessment as to that.
Okay.
But I find the Dutch being very effective in terms of articulating points of view and
to put
policies
their interest
that
first.
Are good for the Dutch.
Okay. I want to refer to a report from Klingendaal. I think you know the report as well.
I know the report, yes.
Yeah, and it concludes that Dutch people are concerned about increasing geopolitical rivalries. Ik ga af en toe gewoon maar even op het Nederlands om er nog uit te komen. En see U.S. assertiveness as the part of the problem.
Could be. But I mean, that was also the...
Yeah, could be. This is in the Klingendaal report.
I also read the question that said, the Dutch don't like America, as they said, I'll paraphrase it in my own little way. Okay,
yeah.
Since the UK has left the EU, and since the United States is terrible under President Trump and is not reliable, who should we form a deeper relationship with? And the numbers came back very negative.
Mm-hmm.
They could have also asked, let's see, since the United States pays for the majority of our national security and is the biggest contributor to NATO and rebuilt Europe after World War II, who should we build a closer relationship with? You would get a different answer.
Yeah. Let's talk about it some more in a few minutes.
Good to talk with you. Thank you.
BNR Nieuwsradio. The Big Five. Diana Matroos.
Je luistert naar BNR's Big Five van 5G. En mijn gast vandaag is Piet Hoekstra. Hij is de ambassadeur van de Verenigde Staten. And therefore we're going to switch to English back again. Mr. Ambassador, we were talking about the balance of the world power. And when it comes to the relationship between the Netherlands and the United States, why would we in the Netherlands hang on to the United States as our partner in the future?
Oh, that's a decision for the Dutch.
Yeah, but of course it's our decision. But what will be the benefit?
What will be the benefit? Take a look at the last 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who has stood next to the Dutch, and who has stood next to Europe? Not only for the last 75 years, but more importantly, the 5 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dutch have been great at commemorating the sacrifices that Americans, Canadians, and others made to liberate your country. Once that liberation took place, America focused on rebuilding the Netherlands and all of Europe into the economic power that it is today. The economy in the EU today is larger than the economy of the United States.
Yeah.
We had the Marshall Plan. We also put in place, you know, effective trade policies. We stand next to each other and we share the values of human rights, freedom, markets, and those types of things. Yeah. That is the alternative. These are the ideas that we are in competition with the rest of the world. That is the benefit between this relationship.
Yeah. And when it comes to the economic growth, if we see the China numbers, the growth is going faster and faster because of the technology, and they're a world player now.
Now, we've given China favorable access to the rest of the world's market.
Yeah.
In 2000, I was in Congress, and we had a vote to allow China to enter the World Trade Organization, the WTO. And the belief of the United States and other countries was that if we allow China into the World Trade Organization, that it would start to adopt the trade policies of the West. Access to markets, protection of intellectual property, and those types of things, and that it would harmonize with the West. That's not what happened. What happened is China took advantage of the opportunity that we provided them to develop systems and markets and products and services that enabled it to compete predatorially on the rest of the world.
So
that,
so
has
that is
to
why,
stop.
And so that is why you're addressing let's cooperate together with the Netherlands, with Europe, with the United States. But when I refer to the Klingendaal report again, the Dutch people are very worried about the support we're getting also from the United States, because it's more and more America first.
And it's America. The president is negotiating and talking with foreign countries each and every day to make sure that Americans are part of the equation as we get to the final decision. It is the same thing that the French, the Germans, and the Dutch do in these negotiations. Take a look at what's going on between the EU and the UK, something that the United States has nothing to do with. As far as I can tell, Boris Johnson is negotiating the UK first, and the EU is negotiating in a stance of the EU first, and hopefully by Thursday, they will have an agreement. So, because one of the things we will all benefit from is if there is a smooth transition and a smooth exit plan, because as our economies, all of our economies are under threat, we need a smooth transition for the exit of the UK.
Yeah. When I look at the report from Klingendaal, it also shows that followers of Forum for Democracy, PVV and SGP are more US-minded than others. Is that why you're in contact with these parties?
Because I'm in contact with all the parties, okay?
I mean, you tweeted that you were in the town of Geert Wilders yesterday.
We were in the province of Martijn van Helmert, and I sent a tweet out wishing Klaas Dijkhoff the best. Yeah. And I think we also tweeted, if we have not, then we tweeted out that, because we weren't sure, but if it's been confirmed, that Abu Talib in Rotterdam, that we wished him a speedy recovery. So I think we covered multiple parties. With the whole FVA Day thing, okay, a couple of weeks ago.
The fundraising event.
That was not a fundraising event. Okay, come on, let's get the facts right, okay? I'm tired of the Dutch media mischaracterizing events. I have had 59 events with different political parties this year. We have had 4 town halls at either the embassy or my residence with different political parties, and we've had countless town halls over video teleconference. So we are engaged with all of the political parties who want to engage with the United States of America. GroenLinks, D66. We see
you
very
also talk with Bram van Ooyek, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And they are, I love talking to them. Why? Because we always find things in common. They are very close to exactly the United States is on technology.
So you're
and
referring
freedoms.
To that this is framing, that, right? framing? The media is framing?
Media frames it. I mean, totally, yeah. Total distortion.
So what is your explanation that we're not so supporting of the United States now in the Netherlands when it comes to maybe to media or...
I don't know. You'll have. I've spent 2.5 years trying to figure out exactly how the Dutch media works, and I still haven't figured it out.
No. So you don't have any explanation why there's not so much support for President Trump here in the Netherlands?
Well, the President Trump is trying to bring about change.
Mm-hmm.
The change we believe will be good for Western democracies. Bringing a level playing field and bringing China to a level playing field economically mm-hmm. is good for our kids. It's good for our grandkids. We think it would be actually pretty good for Dutch kids as well. We did the Global Entrepreneurial Summit here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Seeing some of the brightest Dutch kids around. We do CES Unveil, yeah. The Global Consumer Electronics Show. Their home in Europe is here in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And you see some of the brightest kids in all of Europe coming with their ideas, their mm-hmm. aspirations mm-hmm. of what they want to have become reality, become yeah. a product or a service.
But we don't feel the support here in the Netherlands. So I don't know why.
I don't know what kind of support. I mean, I don't know what more you can do when America chooses the first place to do the Global Entrepreneurial Summit in Europe.
Yeah, but there are bigger topics like the sanctions there were earlier about NATO.
NATO, has the United States stepped back from NATO? The United States worries, we worry about...
Yeah.
Why doesn't the Netherlands support NATO?
Yeah.
The Dutch don't ask that question. They ask the American ambassador, who we spend 3.8% of our GDP on national security. We fully fund NATO, okay? And they say, why does America not care about NATO? Do you ask the Dutch government? Why do you not care about NATO? You're unwilling to pay for it? You don't ask that question, but you will ask us, and it's kind of like... Wow, the last I looked, America's fully funding NATO. The Dutch, the Belgians, and others, they're not, but no one ever asked them why.
Are we being arrogant? Because we think...
Far be it from me to ever call the Dutch any kind of a name, okay? The Dutch are being Dutch,
yeah.
But the question is, if you're going to ask America, why are you not supportive of NATO, as we fully pay for NATO,
mm-hmm.
our share...
Yeah.
But then never say, oh, and by the way, oh, man, why doesn't the Dutch government support NATO? Yeah. They're the ones that are unwilling to pay for it.
So we have to reverse our question.
I don't know, but you know, that's a Dutch decision. I'm not telling the Dutch to do what to do.
We have still an important task to do together, because we have the kettingvraag. En die gaat natuurlijk yes. door naar mijn gast ook vanmorgen. So, Mr. Hoekstra, you may leave a question for the CEO of Vodafone,
yep.
Ziggo, in the Netherlands here. And his name is Jeroen Hoenkamp.
Yep. And the question is very straightforward. As a businessman and as, you know, concerned about the professional reputation and the legal liability, what is the responsibility of your company to provide a secure and trusted network to your users?
And then you're referring to Huawei again.
Oh, I'm referring to 5G.
5G and whoever Chinese technology, of course.
Well, they can decide whatever technology. But the key is, you know, what's their responsibility mm-hmm. to provide a network that is secure
yeah.
and trusted for their users?
Okay. We have elections, upcoming elections. Of course, you're not going to quote on that. But
nope.
Would you consider going back to your roots and retiring in the countryside of Groningen? Because you never know if you're going to be ambassador again.
We love it in the Netherlands. It is a beautiful country. We found that out when we bicycled, 660 kilometers through 12 provinces this summer. But no, I have kids. Ich hab zwei Kleinkinder in Amerika. We will return back to the United States.
To Michigan.
Okay. To Holland, Michigan. Yes.
So that's the relationship again
yep.
between our two countries.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your insight, Ambassador Hoekstra. En natuurlijk zijn alle afleveringen zoals altijd van BNR's Big Five terug te luisteren. Je vindt de podcast in de BNR-app en op bnr.nl. Maar natuurlijk blijft BNR de hele dag live. Straks Jurgen Rijman met Ask Me Anything. En intussen wens ik iedereen een hele mooie, fijne dag.
Ik ben Olivier van Solft. Betaalt u te veel huur of huurt u te veel kantoorruimte? Solft heeft de oplossing. Van werkplekadvies, huuronderhandeling tot de verbouwing. Wij ontzorgen u. Kijk voor al onze diensten op soft.nl.